Good morning. Welcome to Grace Lutheran Church. Special welcome to any guests and visitors here this morning. If you have any questions about our church, please check with the elder or pastor right after church. Your service today is printed for you in its entirety. The hymns are in your hymnal. Have a couple announcements. On your list of possible pastors, please remove Pastor Mankin. Trevor Mankin is called and is not interested at this time in taking a call. Don't forget, next Sunday is Voting Sunday. All members, be here to vote. Bring your pamphlets with you that were in your mailbox. I don't think there's any extras, so I hope you didn't lose them. Immediately following service, we will start the call process. Do a lot of praying this week so that we can have a pastor, hopefully, after next Sunday, and we'll get back to normal. Thank you.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 9th chapter.
When they came to the disciples, they saw a great crowd among them and scribes arguing with them. And immediately all the crowd, when they saw him, were greatly amazed and ran up to Jesus and greeted him. And he asked them, "What are you arguing about with them?" And someone from the crowd answered, "Teacher, I brought my son to you, for he has a spirit that makes him mute. And whenever it seizes him, it throws him down, and he foams and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. So I asked your disciples to cast it out, and they were not able." And he answered them, "O faithless generation, how long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear with you? Bring him to me." And they brought the boy to him. And when the spirit saw him, immediately it convulsed the boy, and he fell on the ground and rolled about foaming at the mouth. And Jesus asked his father, "How long has this been happening to him?" And he said, "From childhood. And it has often cast him into the fire and into water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." And Jesus said to him, "If you can, all things are possible for one who believes." Immediately, the father of the child cried out and said, "I believe, help my unbelief." And when Jesus saw that a crowd came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, "You mute and deaf spirit, I command you to come out of him and never enter him again." And after crying out and convulsing him terribly, it came out, and the boy was like a corpse, so that most of them said, "He is dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he had entered the house, his disciples asked him privately, "Why could we not cast it out?" And he said to them, "This kind cannot be driven out by anything but prayer." This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. And Jesus said to him, "All things are possible for one who believes." And he said, "Lord, I believe, help my unbelief." In the name of Jesus, dear redeemed. There are three groups that we meet in the text appointed for today's gospel: a child tragically afflicted with demon possession, his father who is beside himself with worry over his son's condition, and Jesus and his disciples. First, this demon-possessed boy who cannot stand upright. Mark gives us a graphic description of the boy, His tongue and body are seized by a spirit that convulses him, causing him to roll around on the ground, plunging him into fire, and even endeavoring to drown him with water. With a body as rigid as a corpse, he is unable to stand. He cannot, by the power of his own will, think himself out of this life-threatening predicament. His limbs and his life thrash around, flopping in the dust, and as one for whom it would appear that death would be a relief and mercy. And this all by the work of a demon controlling him. From Ephesians 6, we learn that demon possession is real. It was real then, and it is a reality even as it is today. The devil works in many strange and various ways to keep people from standing upright. Satan, the god of this world, controls much of what occurs in the events of this world, through governments, societies, and even your own choices and thoughts. Christ has been Satan's primary target. But since Satan couldn't defeat Christ, either with temptations or on the cross, he now opposes everything that Christ does. Christ revealed the truth, Satan conceals the truth. Satan lures you with temptation to destroy you. Christ permits tests to push you in life to grow spiritually. Christ sets believers free. Satan enslaves the lost. Christ defends believers. Satan accuses them. With his lies, Satan attempts to take away your ability to stand in Christ. Put yourself now in the place of this poor father. He has watched his son since childhood endure this demonic agony. Helpless he is to alleviate the shame and pain of his son. This father cannot stand upright under the weight of this affliction. He brought his son to Jesus' disciples, but this demon was apparently too strong for them. At first, he appears to have the right thought, attitude, and actions. He brought his son to the disciples. No help there, but he didn't give up. Look at his attitude. When the disciples couldn't do it, he turns to Jesus, crying, "If you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." Jesus said to him, with no ifs or buts, "I will have compassion. All things are possible for the one who believes." And immediately the father of this child cried out and said, "I believe, help my unbelief. I believe, help my unbelief." All the right thought, all the right attitude, all the right action. Unable to stand upright? Is that where you find yourself today? The reality, dear friends, is that most of the time you can't stand upright either, even when you think you are, even when you think you have the right thoughts, the right attitude, and the right actions. Have you examined your thoughts lately? I mean truly and according to the light of God's holy will. If you have examined yourself, then you must say, just like this father, "I believe, help my unbelief." The father cried out with faith, but struggled with his son's burden and the failure of his disciples. Here, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, is the key. Worthiness does not depend on the greatness or smallness of your faith. Worthiness depends on the greatness and the strength of Christ, the object of your faith, his work for you. For with little faith, the father's distress cry was heard by Jesus, as were the prayers of Abraham, Paul, and others who had a joyful and strong faith. In this text, Jesus has just come down from the mountain of transfiguration. He does not linger there in the glory of this transfiguration that revealed him to be true God of God, but graciously descends from that mountain to a world of despair and doubt to deliver sinners. From that mountain of earthly glory, Jesus sets his face to Jerusalem to do his Father's will. Yet on the journey to Jerusalem, Jesus pauses to heal what was broken and weak. Jesus had compassion on the boy, the father, and his disciples. And he has compassion on you and all of little faith as well. Jesus' journey of faithfulness to the will of his Father takes him all the way to the cross and the grave and the empty tomb. He does this all for you, O ye of little faith. In your Christian walk, your thoughts are dominated with attitude and actions. But those thoughts are also dominated by your desires and your sins. For example, those who accept a promiscuous lifestyle or support it because a loved one follows it do so not because there are valid reasons, but because there is something else in their life that needs approval, a sin that needs to be called acceptable, a word that holds God's word as something outdated. Like a little child, we oftentimes try to convince God to accept us as we are without Christ, without repentance, without forgiveness. But that is impossible. And dear friends, that is Satan's doing in your life. His lies are actively infiltrating your thoughts, directing your attitudes and your actions, and in the end will leave you convulsing in the dust of your sin. Today, you need to pray as the father of the boy did. Jesus invites you to come to him and believe and trust him and his word. All things are possible for the one who believes. These words of Jesus open your lips to a life of prayer. It is a prayer that abandons everything to God's hand. It is a prayer that hands over your thoughts, your attitudes, and your actions into his. And your prayer is simple. You simply say, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. That is the prayer not only of this desperate father, but also of every Christian. It needs to be your prayer as well, for you cannot stand upright apart from Christ. But prayer and faith are nourished, strengthened, and made right through the words of Jesus. His words, given to you in the Scripture, announced and proclaimed in this house of prayer, and received through the Holy Spirit, who works through God's precious, life-giving, and life-sustaining word. Words put upon you with the water of baptism, marking you as his child and heir. His words that bid you to be refreshed, tasting and seeing that the Lord is good, as he offers you his body and his blood for the forgiveness of your sin and the strengthening of your weak faith and removal of your unbelief. Today, Jesus would teach you to say with the Father, I believe, help my unbelief. Oh, do so, praying always. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in true faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.